This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's week one. There's nothing else to say. On pod, like a raven. We finally made it. After the painful months of, dare I say, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, we are in September. Football games are happening, and your Baltimore Ravens are going to kick off the NFL season against, I don't know, some other team in Kansas City. I am Antonio Barbera. I'm going to bring on my co-host here as I am jacked up to talk Ravens, to talk NFL, to make some picks, to make some playoff predictions, all the fun, spicy stuff with one episode to go before week one starts. Tim Horsey, Tim, are you feeling the magic of week one?
I cannot wait. For football, Antonio. No, it's not the coffee that's coursing through my veins because we're recording this at a different time than we usually do. I am so excited. Not excited for the Ravens game. No, don't get me wrong. I'm dreading Thursday night. But Sunday's going to come, and Sunday's going to be fantastic. I'm going to sit on my couch, fire up my three TVs, and get every game possible I can. Maybe four box, like three of the TVs to try and go 12 games at once. Get real nuts with it if I can. I'm very, very excited. Football is back. The fall weather is coming, and I accidentally bought pumpkin spice coffee. I didn't mean to. I hate pumpkin spice, but it's on the shelves already, which means football is here. Let's do it. I cannot wait to get started, boys.
Jace, how much pumpkin spice is in your coffee this morning? How jacked up are you for week one?
No pumpkin spice here. I'm more of a tea man myself, but But no, I'm very, very excited. I was texting you guys, I believe it was last night. I know I'm excited and ready for football because I am interested in seeing every single game. I think there is something interesting and redeeming and something worth watching in every single contest. And I agree with Tim, the game I am least excited for is the opener of our favorite team that we talk about here every week. Not looking forward to that so much. although, I don't know, minor spoiler, I'm getting more positive about what they could do in the game as we get closer to it. But yeah, I'm just really excited for football. There's something that, you know, as I said, every one of these games, there's something I think to look forward to. And that won't always be the case by, you know, week 12 when half these quarterbacks are hurt and you get some real just dogs in the 1 p.m. window. But for now, you know, it's the best time of the year. It's September now. The weather's going to not stink, hopefully, here momentarily. And yeah, it's just, I couldn't be more excited once to see that calendar flip over this morning.
Week one and the NFL, truly like Christmas. You go under the tree as a kid, let's say, and you see all the presents and you start unwrapping them one at a time and you're excited about each gift. That's all the games that we have for week one. Each one is its own little present wrapped in a different way that looks kind of interesting, as Jace kind of alluded to. So we're going to talk about that first. We're going to go through some of our favorite week one matchups, some fun storylines. And then because we're all not really wanting to talk about the Ravens against the Chiefs, we're doing that in the second half of this episode. So if you want to hear that specifically, you know, just go ahead and fast forward about half an hour. But let's get to these week one games first. There's a game in Brazil on a Friday. The Steelers and the Falcons are playing week one, which is, for some reason to me, one of the weirdest matchup teams. Like, it feels like they should never be playing against each other outside of a Super Bowl. There's the Caleb Williams hype train. Let's see what the Bears have week one. There's the boom or bust of Jets versus 49ers. Are we going to get more than three snaps from Aaron Rodgers? Are the 49ers the Super Bowl hangover bust team of the year? There is so much to like here. What are some week one games you guys are paying attention to or storylines that you want to follow the first week of the season?
Well, I figure we can kind of go one by one here so we're not just rambling. I'm going to start with Panthers-Saints. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that. The Friday night game in Brazil, I think, is really interesting. If you listened to our Over-Unders podcast last week, I'm not super high on the Eagles. I think that there might be some drama a-brewing with the Philadelphia Eagles that could kind of blow up in their face by, you know, middle of the season. And the Packers are this team that everybody's just crowning. You know, they're pulling the Denny Green and crowning the ass. I'm interested to see if the Eagles come out here and prove some people wrong in week one and maybe shut some critics up. And maybe it's not a, you know, this is how the rest of the season's going to go, but a early, like, overreaction game. This for me, I think, is the ultimate overreaction game of if Jordan Love comes out and throws four touchdowns and the Packers win convincingly, they're winning the Super Bowl and the Eagles are toast. If the Eagles come out and win, it's, hey, don't sleep on these Eagles. They're still here. Kellen Moore's got Jalen Hurts rolling. So that one for me, I think, just to kick things off, not to go in a sequential order here, but for me, that Brazil game is really interesting. And hey, Friday Night Football. Screw you, high school. I can't watch Calvert Hall on TV. I'm watching the football, the NFL, the pros do it. It's going to be fun on a Friday night.
And if I had to guess, Tim, this will be the first of, I think, yearly regular NFL Friday night games. I think it's almost an inevitability.
1,000%. They're just, all they need is Tuesday now. They've played on Wednesday because, shout out COVID, they just need Tuesday. That's the only game they need, and they're going to take that.
Well, this week, or this year, rather, the Chiefs do play every day but Tuesday. Like you said, that's the only day they don't play. The Chiefs play every day of the week this year, except for Tuesday, because they are doing a Black Friday game again. For me, Antonio, you mentioned that Jets 49ers game to cap the week on Monday Night Football. It is the return of Aaron Rodgers, and I do think that is notable because we have not seen Aaron Rodgers now in basically a year and a half or 2 years, essentially, play football. And if he's any good at all, I think will actually have an impact sort of on the trajectory of the season, because if he's good, the Jets could be really good, and we haven't seen the Jets be really good. I mean, the Jets have the longest playoff drought in the NFL, so we haven't seen them be really good in 15 years just about at this point. And, so I think that's sort of where I sit entering week one, is even though I do love all these matchups, maybe I'm a sucker for the hype of Aaron Rodgers on Monday Night Football, but I think that is the game I'm most looking forward to on this slate. Certainly lots of interesting Sunday games, but yeah, of the big primetime matchups, even though, you know, Rams-Lions might be the actual best primetime game of the whole week, they played an awesome playoff game, but just seeing Rodgers back out there, the fact that it's Monday Night Football again, basically, you know, all a year and a week to the, or a week shy of being 1 year to the day of him getting hurt. It's interesting. And so, yeah, I think it's just cause his return could shape so much of the season. I think that's, for me, it has to be the top sort of storyline of week one.
Yeah. Antonio said three snaps. The over under is five, right? So he could do four. You never know. Just quickly before Antonio picks one out here, because I got a couple more. But Rams Lions for me, I think, is super interesting. You know, everybody's high on the Lions, and they should be. Lions, great story. Maybe this is the next step for them. I'm really high on the Rams this year, like really high on the Rams. I think that they're going to be a force. Maybe not that high. Take it down. Scale it down just a little bit. Too much pumpkin spice. I think they're going to be a really competitive team in the NFC this year, and there's definitely a certain aspect of revenge there where Stafford, you know, knows he went back to Detroit, ended up losing, and then goes and, you know, kind of does one of these and puts the finger up to the mouth and silences the crowd a little bit in there on Sunday night. So Rams Lions, just before we get to some other games. So you mentioned that, Jace. I'm really looking forward to that game on Sunday night.
Yeah, if you're if you don't like jinxes, then a Monday night repeat is terrifying to you. Maybe, I guess, if you're also a Jets fan, you know, those two things overlap. Also, his first game for Aaron Rodgers being the 49ers defense in San Francisco, like, that is a mean group of players all over the field where let's see immediately if that O-line has been fixed. You know, it's been patched up with Ravens cast-offs, so let's see if that actually works, because he will be pressured early and often, and they're going to put all of his 40-plus-year-old muscles and tendons and ligaments to work. So I was curious to see what shape he's in. I mean, I can't believe I'm going to say this again. This stupid Steelers-Falcons game is not going to be a pretty game, but we're going to learn a lot, right? We're going to learn what the Steelers are. We're going to watch the Russell Wilson car crash. He was officially named the Week 1 starter. I have my doubts, but we'll see what they can do. And then this Falcons team, right, that for 8 years has been kind of like, ooh, are the Falcons going to be frisky this year? Seeing Kirk Cousins, what shape he's in after coming off of a major injury, and their, you know, reintroduction of him as the face of the Falcons, even though they drafted a quarterback in the top 10. But yeah, so it should be a fun atmosphere in Atlanta. Get the dome loud and rocking, raucous, as they're excited about the potential of having a playoff team, but with who knows what record in winning the NFC South. We'll get into some playoff predictions later on. But yeah, it's just the Week 1 stuff is you have so many questions about all these teams, and obviously not all of it gets answered in a game. But you want to see things. You want to learn certain position groups and how certain players are going to look. Texans-Colts had the week 18 matchup last year to determine who went to the playoffs. They kick off week 1 in Indianapolis. So that's a fun one. Raiders-Chargers. I want to watch Harbaugh. I want to watch Herbert. I want to watch them run it 3 yards and a, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, this new look Chargers offensive attack. So it's just, for me, it's not even specific games. It's just looking, every game has something that I'm like, oh, I wonder how that team's going to look.
So one thing I have my eye on, Antonio, that actually isn't a specific team, even though there's tons of ones, you know, Denver at Seattle. I want to see kind of Mike Mack. What does that look like? That kind of thing. A lot of new coaches. And in the games that don't have new coaches, there's seemingly new quarterbacks. Like you mentioned, the Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. That'll be interesting. But for me, the game sort of, and I'm guessing this is going to be, you know, if I don't find myself in front of Red Zone, this will probably be the game that's on in our area, is the Dallas Cowboys at the Cleveland Browns, because this is, beyond being an interesting game, it's Tom Brady's debut in the booth, and just what is that like? What is Tom Brady as a broadcaster like? This guy who was in our lives for, 22 years as a quarterback between the Patriots and the Bucks. How is he as a broadcaster? I am cautiously optimistic about the Brady as a broadcaster. You know, I don't love that he just kind of kicked Greg Olson off the top booth for Fox. I thought Olson did a really good job. But, you know, it's weird because I do believe that Brady, just what everything you read about him, he's, you know, kind of one of these just hyper-driven kind of psycho guys. That's why he had successes for as long as he did. And I do believe, like, he will probably be putting in the work. So I want to believe that he'll be good, but we just don't know until we see it. And then there's that whole weird angle came out this week that if he actually gets approval to be a part owner of the Raiders, he can't do production meetings, which seems like a problem for a broadcaster. So it'd be interesting to see how that kind of plays out down the road. But yeah, for now, I'm just excited, like, you know, interested to see him in the booth, because we haven't seen a guy this high profile. I mean, you could argue Tom Brady was like the face of the NFL for close to 20 years, pretty much, or certainly one of them. And now he's back in our lives after kind of a one-year hiatus of him just doing sort of whatever. So, yeah, it'll be kind of just interesting to see how that plays out.
I am a little bit afraid of the first things that we've seen from Tom Brady. I feel like there's been one too many clips in the past year of him doing the, like, back in my day and the, like, you know, these kids don't know. And that's not – I don't know if that's going to translate so well to the booth. Like, you want to bring excitement about what you're actually looking at. And he's got a little grumpiness to him in some, like, events that he's been at. And I'm curious to see if that – if he lays that on in these games, or if he's able to just do the, like, well, here's some fun things that are actually happening on the field right now.
It's a really good point, because I wholeheartedly agree with Tom Brady with the things he says. Like, I saw a clip last night of, like, he basically that they dumbed down the game for quarterbacks now, and, like, I had to, and, like, basically ragging on the transfer portal and all this stuff. I had to work my way up from seventh string, and that old man yells at cloud. But, like, a lot of the points he was making, I was like, I don't like you, but you're making sense, Mr. Brady. Like, it was a lot of that. And he's talked about how the game, like, needs to be more physical. Totally agree. You know, you signed up to play football. It's football. We don't have to start that debate now. But that's a really – I never thought about that angle, Antonio, of, like, when you're doing the color and you only got a few seconds to react, can't really do that. That being said, you know, I think – I don't know. I'm going to hate seeing Tom Brady on my television screen. I don't like the guy. I don't want to see him ever again. I wish that the whole Giselle thing worked out so he would just live in Brazil and maybe just call that one Brazil game a year, but that's just not going to happen because, you know, he has to be in the spotlight. But I do think he is going to be more insightful than in, like, remember the Romo craze? I mean, we make fun of Romo now because he's turned into a caricature of himself. But he was really good to start, and everybody thought that he was very, like, oh, wow, he's really insightful. He's predicting plays. Like, he's really, you know, diving in. I think Brady's going to give you that stuff without being, like, a goofball. So, you know, my biases aside, I think he'll be pretty decent at it. I'm going to hate watching him. and that might be second screen muted TV. And like Jay said, too, it just sucks because Greg Olsen's the best color guy there is. Like, bar none, he is the best one. He's fun. He's intense. He's passionate. And the thing that I always thought, you know, even like in my day job, we talk about this with hosts that we bring in and stuff to take you a little behind the curtain, is explain the game to me without sounding like you're talking down to me. And every time that I listen to you, I'm learning something, but it's not over the top, right? So it's not just like the three of us sitting here doing this podcast being super football nerds. It's like my dad also could take something out of what Greg Olsen says because of the way he delivers it and the way he gives you information in a fun, passionate, energetic, lively way as well. So, yeah, it sucks it, you know, because, again, the Ravens being mostly a CBS team, we don't get a lot of Fox anyway. So you're not going to get a lot of Greg Olsen, and then he's not going to be on the main game because it's Botox Brady. No, it's not not great. But you know, biases aside, I think we'll be pretty decent. Just a couple more just – maybe we'll talk about this a bit later because you guys have kind of mentioned all the games. The Cowboys-Browns for me, I think the Cowboys might stomp them. But we'll maybe get to that a bit later. And maybe we'll get to this one later too. If you look at the betting, and I know we'll do picks at the end of the show. And it's week one, so we're going to have a lot of picks, ladies and gentlemen. Texans-Colts, pick your betting app, whichever one you use. You know, sponsorships are available, as we said last week. I'm ready to eat all the cheese. I'll just say that. The rat is ready to eat the cheese.
What's going on?
What is the problem with this game? As he is scrolling FanDuel on his phone right now as we're speaking, again, sponsorships are available. Something's up with that Texans-Colts game. Just be wary of that one. And we gave you the advice, and then in about an hour's time here, whenever we talk about it, we are going to tell you to bet the mortgage on that game because it's just ridiculous that the line's like that.
How about the rookie quarterbacks, guys? We have Caleb Williams. Yeah, I'm putting them together. I'm creating the perfect quarterback. We have Caleb Williams going against the Titans. Jaden Daniels on the road against the Bucks, and then Bo Nix starting for the Broncos and going into Seattle. You know, maybe I've kind of spoiled it here, but how do you think in terms of measuring the success in week one, which one of them is going to survive? Which one of them is really going to struggle? And how do you view week one for these three highly touted rookies? And if you want to, you know, how is Michael Penix's clipboard holding going to go? Or is he going to play in the game when Cousins has, you know, he's an old man? How do you view that? But mostly, how do you view the three rookies who will be starting?
Oh, I want to say with Caleb or with the Michael Penix thing, you joke, but they basically sat him as if he was a starter for the last three preseason right. or two preseason games, and now you're like, what's going on? Do they know something that we don't know about Cousins, you know, being what, 36 and coming off an Achilles tear? Just something to monitor there. I still think we'll see Cousins out there, but I don't know. That whole preseason thing was strange, so something worth monitoring. But for me, it definitely, I feel like Caleb kind of has, I don't want to say the red carpet rolled out for him, but you get a Tennessee team that was pretty bad last year, new coach. You know, they invest in some pieces. They bring in LeJarius Sneed, who we won't have to see as Ravens fans this week, to their secondary. Did some other investments sort of on that defense and elsewhere. But, you know, it definitely just Titans at home versus you look at Daniels on the road at the Bucks. You know, not like a great team, but I don't know that you want to necessarily go up against like a defensive coordinator like Todd Bowles in your very first or defensive coach like Todd Bowles in your very first NFL game. And to be, you know, completely frank, I kind of forgot Bo Nix was just the Broncos starter. I think it's going to be a tough season for the Broncos in general. And, you know, even if Seattle, I don't fully know what to expect from them. But they're sort of a team in transition, the Seahawks. But I think the Broncos could be pretty bad. And, you know, you never want to go into a building like that, I think, as your first NFL game. Because they're going to be excited, I think, up there, certainly. New coach, new era in Seattle after, you know, what, 14 seasons of Pete Carroll or whatever it was. They're going to be jazzed, too. So I think definitely Caleb sort of has the best situation. I think he's on the best team of those three quarterbacks, which, you know, comes with drawbacks, too. Because I do think, and we'll get into it, I think, in a moment with our playoff picks. But I think there's a lot of pressure on him to perform, and for just that you don't normally, I think, see even like other first round quarterbacks face that he is going to face this year. Because the Bears fans, we talked about it a little bit, I think, the other week, but they already think he's the savior. So you kind of have to live up to that. And so if, like, you know, if he lays an egg or just kind of struggles as a rookie does in his first NFL game, I could just see him very quickly becoming is he not as good as he was hyped up to be on like First Take sort of shows, if he kind of falls flat against the Titans. But that being said, I think he is in the best position to succeed, because I don't think that Tennessee team's anything special. And I think certainly on paper, the Titans are one of the four or five worst teams in the AFC. So yeah, it seems like Caleb is probably positioned best to succeed this weekend.
I think Caleb Williams has the best roster of any number one pick coming into a season. Like, just what they did for him, excuse me, pumpkin spice, to really, like, set him up for success. But Jace, you make the point perfectly of now Bears fans are thinking playoffs automatically with the rookie QB, which is, like, how does that what happens the first time he throws three interceptions in a game and they lose? You know, like, where does that – how quickly do they turn, or how quickly do you be like, hey, hold on, like, let's settle down, take your time, what have you? Like, remember, Lamar Jackson was just a running quarterback when he started, you know, not the same situation, but the pressure thing is weird to me, and I think it'll be interesting to follow. You kind of laid everything out. I'll just mention, too, with Jaden Daniels, I'm very curious with Commanders fans. They should be excited, right? Jalen Daniels is an incredible athlete and looks like a really good player. In preseason, he's done very well. But, and I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm really not. But, like, there has to be some sort of sneaking, like, this is just Robert Griffin III all over again. And we still play in FedEx Field. And they haven't fixed that field yet. They haven't fixed the turf. Like, what happens when his knee goes? Like, I'm not wishing that. But if I was a Commanders fan, I would just be, it'd be clenched. We'll say that. It would be clenched watching Jalen Daniels play, because, am I saying Jalen? It's Jaden Daniels.
Sorry.
Jaden Daniels.
Jalen Daniels, Kansas quarterback.
Kansas quarterback. Thank you. Apologies. All of that, but for Jaden Daniels, what I just said. But I would be cautiously optimistic, I guess, just because of the bad luck that they have had with that type of quarterback. And then Jaden Daniels, too, very small guy and also doesn't know how to take hits. Like the thing with Lamar Jackson, the thing with a lot of these running quarter, like I think the thing that Lamar is the most remarkable at is he doesn't get hit. You know what I mean? Like he knows how to take the hits in the right way. He knows how to kind of sneak out when he needs to. He knows when to get out of bounds, get down. You watch Jaden Daniels at LSU. My man's getting smacked around by the biggest boys in the SEC. Like, it would be one of those things where I'm going to be the very, the dad here of like, just learn how to slide. Like, you know, one of those. So, but it will be fun. And I hope for Commander's fans' sake that he does turn out. He's an exceptional player. I think, and I do think too, just overall, the amount of exciting rookies, and especially at the quarterback position we have, is making the league, you know, just more exciting in general.
It gives you like a reason to just sort of invest in these bad, kind of bad teams. Because I do think the Commanders will be bad. And if I have a concern with Daniels, too, it's that that line is no great shakes. And I worry, as Tim said, just a guy who is not afraid, sometimes to his detriment, playing behind an already not great offensive line. I have concerns. I hope he makes it through. I hope he's good because he has looked pretty solid in preseason. When he did get out there. I just have concerns about the Washington experience this year. I think it might be one more year of pain for our Commanders friends until maybe they're on the true come up sort of next year and you can maybe fully, you know, wash the Dan Snyder era away after just sort of one more rebuilding season.
All right, so we gave you week one. We're going to jump out. We're going to expand it out. Let's give you the full season. We're going to go through some of our playoff seeding, playoff predictions that the three of us have and maybe make a Super Bowl pick. Let's start with the AFC. Let's do a round table on the AFC first, and then we'll go to the NFC. I'm happy to start, kick things off here. So last week we went through the AFC North, but I have it as Ravens, Bengals, Browns, Steelers. I think the Ravens may even end up edging that out with a tiebreaker. You know, they have two wins against the Bengals, and they end up with similar records. Because I do think the Bengals are going to be strong, but I had the Ravens over their 10.5, so I almost see two 11-win teams or a 12 and then an 11-win team. In the AFC East, I'm hesitant, as I am with just about all these picks, but I am going to stick with the Bills. I think they handle the first half of the season better than they did last year. They don't have to go on one of those 5-game runs to end the year where they need all the wins to get into the postseason. I think they start a little bit safer in the first half and end up winning that division. I'm putting the Jets second, which almost seems like a mistake just because if Aaron Rodgers plays, the team is really, really, really good. If he doesn't play, we're going to have the same thing as last year. So it's almost like they're a boom or bust team, and yet I'm putting them right in the middle. But I'm sticking with it. They are second in the AFC East behind the Bills. I'm going to put the Dolphins third, and then a distant fourth for not your New England Patriots. In the South, I'm going to go Texans, comfortably winning that, with the Jags and the Colts and the Titans behind them kind of mashed together a little bit. And then in the West, Chiefs by many, many games, the Chargers with a dramatic improvement and yet still, you know, 4 games behind in the division, Broncos in third. I almost kind of wanted to push this a little bit, the Sean Payton stuff. They were better than it looked last year by the end of the season. I just think everybody's memory is the 70-20 Dolphins. Like, that's the score we remember for what this team was. But that was early in the season. They played a lot better in the second half. But I'm going to stick with them third and put the Raiders in fourth. And then I'm going to run. I'll just keep going here. I'll go through my playoff seeds, at least, and then go to my co-host for some of their picks. I'm putting the Chiefs at the number one seed. Not hard to do. Last year when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, it was a bit of an anomaly that they struggled to win some games and had the ridiculous loss to the Raiders. I think a few of those losses do not happen this year, and they end up as like a 13-4 one seed. I'm putting the Ravens as the 2 seed, the Texans as the 3 seed, and then the Bills as the 4. My wild card teams, Bengals, the first wild card in. Obviously, if I have them neck and neck with the 2 seed Ravens, they're going to be my top wild card. I'm putting the Jets as the another wild card. Hurrah for Jets fans, you have a playoff team. And then the Dolphins sneaking in at something like a 10-7, 9-8 tiebreaker type situation for them to get the 7 seed, which would give me playoff matchups of Chiefs with a bye, Ravens hosting the Dolphins, Texans hosting the Jets, and then the Bills hosting the Bengals. Some intriguing matchups there, some fun first-round matchups. But before I make those picks, I'll pivot to my co-hosts for their AFC picks.
So I am with you. I believe the Chiefs will be the number one seed in this conference. They do play the AFC North, not, you know, as we know, not an easy division. But they also play, as you said, the AFC West, which is no great shakes, and I think got worse in several respects. And, you know, at least in terms of the Raiders, and I think the Broncos will be worse. Because, as you said, the Broncos were kind of surprisingly better than people thought last year, and they kind of have downgraded a bit. And then the other division they play is the NFC South. So that's 4 wins there. And then so it just seems like the Chiefs have a pretty easy path to the one seed. I've been constantly shifting this around, but I think I am still going. I'm going to go with the Bills as the 2 seed. They were last year at only 11-6, kind of a strange season last year. I still believe the Bills, as we kind of talked about last week. I believe the Texans win the AFC South. So I have them as the 3 seed. I could even see them getting up to the 2 seed maybe. But like I said, I think the Chiefs will be the 1 seed again. And then I'm going with the Bengals in the 4 seed. I mentioned last week, I think they'll win the AFC North. And I put them in 4 kind of last minute, but sort of just a... I think there's a real chance the AFC North teams, if everyone stays healthy, could really kind of beat themselves all up this year and kind of maybe lead to, you know, as good as the division is, quote-unquote, maybe there's no, you know, like super team or anything like that. And so then for my wild cards, I was texting you guys this. I am drinking the Kool-Aid on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe I have them in the 5 seed, and I think, you know, there's just a lot of things to like. It's been pointed out they were 8-3 until they just completely collapsed into a 9-8 squad last season. Trevor Lawrence had, I believe it was 4 different injuries. So there's, you know, I'm still a Trevor believer. He turns the ball over way too much, but I think there is just... Even if I didn't, like, love sort of their free agency, I think there was a few smart pickups here and there. I think Doug Peterson's a fine coach. You know, he has won a Super Bowl, so he can't be an awful coach. And I just think there's a lot of sort of reasons to like the Jags. So I have them 5. I have our beloved Baltimore Ravens as the 6th seed, which would have us playing the Texans in a rematch in the first round. I think that was a little wish casting on my part because I don't want to, I think, play any of the other my projected division winners in the wild card round. And then for the final one, the 7th seed, I went with the Cleveland Browns. I think the AFC North will end up with 3 playoff teams again. I'm just, as I talked about last week, I'm not in love with the Dolphins, but I could see them here. This could obviously be the Jets. Any of these seeds, really, if Rodgers is any good. But for now, I just kind of, I kind of, you know, split the middle of the road, went with the Browns, because I do think the Browns are a talented team with maybe just kind of the most variance of any AFC contender. But I think... If they get anything decent from Watson, like, the Browns will make the playoffs. I think they're that good. So it felt like, to me, like I had to kind of put them in there. So I sort of copped out and just threw them in the 7th seed. So those are my 7. I think the Chiefs get the 1 seed, and I think they'll go far. We'll discuss our Super Bowl picks, I'm sure, momentarily. But, yeah, so those are my AFC picks. Did you want me to run through NFC too, or no? We were
before you do that, I'll jump in here with AFC. Yeah, very similar to Jace. I think 3 AFC North teams are making it, and none of those are the Steelers. I feel weird all of us picking Chiefs one seed, honestly, because I think it's one of those things where the narrative is, well, they're really gunning for this three-peat, which is just the ultimate no blank. I don't feel like editing this podcast early in the morning. Obviously, they're trying to win the Super Bowl. That's what everybody does. Stop. But the narrative to it is, well, they might like take the regular season a little bit like lax. Look what they did last year where they ramped up. Travis Kelce might not play that much and, you know, kind of get set for December and January and February to make the run. I still think they get the one seed. And a lot of it is because, like Jace mentioned, they play the AFC West. And the AFC West is terrible. So Chiefs one seed. I'm going to go Texans two seed. I think the Texans, again, much like the Chiefs, they have six games against opponents that they're much better than. Much better than a 2.5-point spread, which we'll get to later in the show. Texans being the two seed there for me. I'm with you on the Bills. I think the Bills are going to win that division. And the people that are sleeping on the Bills, it feels odd to me. I know they lost some pieces. Stephon Diggs, you know, God love him. He a terp, but might have been addition by subtraction there in that offense. And we'll see what Keon Coleman does as the new rookie wide receiver and some of those other weapons they have. But for me, I think the Bills win that division. They get the three seed. And then the Ravens are the four seed, just beating each other up in the AFC North. So they drop to the four seed for me. Five, I'll go Jets. I think Jace mentioned it. There's so much variance with them. You know, Aaron Rodgers, if he's healthy, I think they're a good team. If he's not, they're what they were last year and not a playoff team. So I'm going to go Jets there as the five. Six, Browns. And then seven Bengals for my two AFC North teams there. It's just like I picked last week. We did our division for the AFC North. I think the Browns sneaky finished second in this division, even though I took all of 15 minutes to crap on them. Somehow I still think they finished second. And so for me, it's Browns, Bengals in some sort of way, but I'm gonna take the Browns as the sixth seed and the Bengals as the seventh seed there.
One quick note that I forgot to mention at the top. We ragged on the Browns last week in part because they were keeping four quarterbacks on the roster. No more. Tyler Huntley brought all the intel from Cleveland back to Baltimore. So, Tyler Huntley, happy to have you back. We'll see how many weeks it takes for you to take back depth chart number two for the quarterbacks from Josh Johnson. All right, let's do our playoff picks for the AFC too before we pivot to the NFC. So, with my playoff matchups, obviously the Chiefs have the bye. I'm going to have the Ravens as the two seed beating the Dolphins, the Texans as the three seed beating the Jets, and then the five seed Bengals upsetting the four seed Bills. The tradition continues where the Bills just struggle in the postseason, but a lot against the Cincinnati Bengals. And am I, as Jay said, wish casting some of this? Maybe, but the NFL postseason is all about matchups. And if you want to win the Super Bowl, you can either be really good in the playoffs or you can finally have a season where things break your way just a little bit. And that's what happens to your Baltimore Ravens this season because the Bengals have to play the Chiefs in round two and the Chiefs take it. Sorry, excuse me. Oh my gosh. And the Bengals take it. Bengals, Chiefs killers. So the Bengals take that game. The Ravens play the Texans at home. Sounds good to me. Ravens take that in a playoff rematch. And then you have Ravens-Bengals in the AFC Championship game, the Ravens at home. They take that one. They take that one, and they go to the Super Bowl for the first time with Lamar Jackson, and they represent the AFC. So that is why I have the Ravens going there. It just takes 1 year where they don't have to play the Chiefs. and I think it happens this year, and that's how they get it.
Well, I did not realize in setting my picks up basically to avoid the Bills and the Bengals in the first round, in my belief that the Ravens will reach the divisional round, that I am setting them up for a divisional round game against the Kansas City Chiefs in my scenario here. I don't think they'll win that, but so my picks, I'd have Bills over Browns, and then Bengals over Jags, Ravens over Texans, and then us losing at Arrowhead Stadium again in January in the divisional round. Bills beating the Bengals, Chiefs beating the Bills yet again in the playoffs in the AFC title game, and I have the Kansas City Chiefs returning to the Super Bowl as they bid for a three-peat. We have not had a three-peat in the Super Bowl era, have not had a team even get to the Super Bowl with a chance to three-peat. The 49ers came closest in 1990. That was a long time ago now. we haven't had a team do it since. But I do think the Chiefs get back to the Super Bowl this year. It just... I want to believe, Antonio, but I don't... Like, I think they got better. You talked about, like, this team that kind of was just mid all season goes 11-6, and then they improved. On paper, they lose LeJarius Sneed, but I think they improved everywhere else. So, I just have the Chiefs winning the AFC again. I know it's not exciting, but... Until someone can beat this guy when he's like not concussed, that's the last time we did it, saw it, was against the Bengals, or when they just he completely collapsed in that game. And then that the Bucs Super Bowl, he lost to Tom Brady, you know, he had no offensive line, he lost to the greatest quarterback of all time. That's the two times he's lost in the playoffs, or two times to Tom Brady, and then that weird collapse against the Bengals. Otherwise, it hasn't happened. And I just don't know that it will happen. He might be better than Tom Brady, so that's kind of what I'm dealing with on my picks this year. Just kind of picking the Chiefs until someone can knock them off.
Yeah, I didn't really break it down by matchups, but the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. Like, he can't keep getting away with this situation. I'm back. We're back in Brady land, ladies and gentlemen. He's on our TVs, and now the other one is just here. If you are a 32-year-old Ravens fan like I am, you have spent most of your life as a Ravens fan being kicked in the teeth by one quarterback over and over and over again. One of them used to wear blue. This one wears red. The Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl.
And it's just so upsetting, Tim, because we'll get into the NFC in a moment, and you're just like, I don't even know. There's three good teams in the whole conference.
It's like three. Hard to pick seven. It's so annoying.
It's so upsetting.
But see, that's why, Chase, that's why you have the Bengals play the Chiefs in the playoffs before they get to the Ravens. The only team he's actually lost to. We've seen it happen before. So that's how the situation will finally work itself out. All right, let's turn to the NFC, starting with the North. I talked a big game last week about I think the Lions could regress a little bit. Everybody's penciling them in as a Super Bowl team. So I'm putting the Packers to win the North. I have the Lions as a wild card team at second, maybe a game, you know, just a game behind them. And then the Bears and the Vikings. In the East, I have the Cowboys. I feel like a lot of talk about them regressing, and I don't know if I see it or believe it. I kind of like need to see it happen before I don't pencil them in as a regular season, you know, strong team. So I'm putting them at first, then the Eagles, Giants, and Commanders. Maybe flipping Giants and Commanders, but we will see. in the South, I don't know. I guess
who cares?
Falcons. Pre-record, my co-host said Falcons, so I'll say Falcons too. I don't know who wins this. Bucks second, then the Saints, and then the Panthers. And then in the West, the 49ers are not going to have as good of a season. They will regress. They will have the Super Bowl hangover. They have some injuries. They had this weird Brandon Ayuk contract saga to where he got way too much money to eventually stay with them. One of my hot takes that I brought up a couple of months ago and then wanted to bring it up again quickly in this episode as part of my selection of the Ravens having a strong season, the rest differential this year. In terms of week to week and then over the course of the season, how many days rest advantage does one team have over their matchup every week, right? So like if a Ravens are playing a team off a bye, then the Ravens would have a -7 day rest differential in that game. This season, who do you think has the best rest differential in the NFL? It's the Baltimore Ravens at +16 days. Week in, week out, they will have a little bit of a rest advantage over their opponents. Who do we think is last? The San Francisco 49ers at -22. They have a 22-day negative rest differential, and that's going to matter when you're 8, 9, 10, 12 games into the season and you're going every week up against a team that's fresher than you are. With that being said, I have them winning the NFC South because I don't know who unseats them. I don't think anybody is good enough to actually unseat them for first in that division. So they're going to be weaker, but I'm still putting them at first in the West. The Rams right behind them in second, and then the Seahawks and the Cardinals. My wild card teams, the Lions, as I mentioned, the Rams will get in, and then the Eagles sneak in with the last spot, which would give me playoff scenarios of the Packers as the number one seed in the NFC, the 49ers with the second seed against the Eagles, the Cowboys with the third seed against the Rams, and the Falcons, shockingly, as the fourth seed playing the Lions in the playoffs. And you have the perfect, every year, there's one of those playoff games where it's like, oh yeah, the wild card team is going to be favored on the road against a bad home playoff team. So we'll see how that game goes, but those are my picks for the NFC.
So I really struggled to not just end up with the 49ers as the top seed. And I agree with you. I part of me believes in a regression for them. I've been sort of a Brock Purdy hater for a long time. But, you know, with them getting Ayuk in the building, and I'm just assuming they're going to figure out the Trent Williams thing. It seems impossible to me that they're just kind of not going to, you know, figure out a way to get him sort of back in the fold. So even though I don't love it, I just kind of begrudgingly put the 49ers as the one seed again. I think they might even lose a game or two more. But this, I mean, I mentioned it a few moments ago, this conference, man, it's not fair. It just seems like, you know, it is the 49ers to lose. And spoiler alert for me, they will lose it. But for now, my two seed, I'm actually with you, Antonio. I am buying the Packers hype. I'm a little scared how much I'm buying the Packers hype. I've always been predisposed to like the Packers, as you all know, since the days of Aaron Rodgers being there. And I don't know. It just there's no reason why the Lions should really not win the division. And I do think people are maybe a little too high on the Packers, myself included. But it's hard for me to believe, I guess, in good things for the Lions. Like, kind of, I think we talked about it a week or two back. I'm just like, The idea of the Lions like being just kind of a permanent juggernaut or an actual Super Bowl contender like doesn't, I think, compute in my brain. And so I think that's why I just kind of landed on the Packers. NFC East, I am going with the Eagles over the Cowboys. I don't love it. The vibes are just very strange with the Eagles, but seems like there's too much talent on the roster. The Cowboys got a little worse. Then four, I just penciled the Falcons in as the NFC South champs. And then I'm very similar to you. I have the Lions as the top wild card seed, and they will obviously beat the Falcons probably badly in a wild card game. I was initially low on them when we started doing planning or like searching for over-unders, but I have also landed on the Cowboys as a playoff team here. There's so many questions with them, and yet they've gone 12-5 three straight years. They get CeeDee Lamb back in the building. Like, Dak Prescott wins regular season games. They're basically unbeatable at home. They beat up on bad teams, and it just seems like they're going to find a way to make the playoffs again and maybe disappoint, but I had no clue what to do with the seventh seed. I'm curious to hear, Tim, what you have, but I have it being some combo of either it's going to be the Bucks, the Seahawks, or the Saints. I don't know how we get it. Just in my head, I'm like, the NFC South's so bad and everyone thinks it's so bad that they're somehow going to end up with like two playoff teams. That's like sort of just my thought process. And the Bucks have won, it's what, three division titles in a row and the Super Bowl before that. You know, kind of another team that's in weird transition, but still a lot of talent there. And then sort of my Seahawks is just, I want to believe in Mike Mack. I like a lot of pieces of that team, but they might just be a year away. And then the Saints, I don't know. The case for the Saints is just everyone is so down on them, and I don't know that roster's like that bad, really. Like, they're just fine. and that might be enough to get the seventh seed in the NFC. So that's kind of my case for the Saints. I think it would make
so Jace
fans...
has Jace has three NFC South teams making the playoffs.
Potentially. One of those two teams, I think, are in the mix for the seventh seed. I'll just say, if I had to pick gun to my head, I'll just say Saints, just because I think if the Saints make a wild card run, that'll make their fans mad because they hate the coach and the quarterback. They seem, it doesn't seem to be happy times in New Orleans, but I think the team's not that bad, really. As you know, they need to rebuild, but they haven't, and I think there's enough to maybe steal a wild card spot, and they will lose in the first round, and it is what it is. So yeah, I didn't know what to do with that seventh seed. So I'm curious, Tim, what you.
So we'll start there because I think it's interesting. So what, did you have the Eagles in or no? You had the
I have the Eagles as the NFC East champ.
Got it. Okay. So and then the Cowboys
as
well.
The sixth seed. Yeah.
Got it. So that's where I guess we differ then, because I have them both in, but I have the Eagles as the seven. And the way you said it too, I thought it was interesting. Like you picked Bucks. I was like, you know, I get that with Bucks. Seahawks, I love the Seahawks thing. And just I couldn't have three NFC West teams in there because I already have two. And we'll talk about that in a second. I was like, I could see that. The Saints are always like, no, wrong. And then you're that's the one you picked in the seventh. But I totally get your reasoning. I totally get it. It makes sense.
I guess I should say I think it's the Rams are probably clearly the sort of team I'm – not as high on for whatever reason. I picked them in my under this year. I'm assuming they are the team occupying one of those spots.
I think that is where we have probably our biggest difference here, because I have the Rams as the five seed, and it's like a one game difference between that and the two seed with the Niners. I think it's one of those divisions. I'm in on the Rams. I don't know why. I think Matt Stafford's going to go off this year. They're missing Aaron Donald. That's important. It's something that should be noted. But I think that offense is going to be so good that they'll be able to kind of hold it together there. I went the Lions as the one seed. You know, I love me some Dan Campbell. And that team has not gotten worse. They've only gotten better. And I think that they are ready to deal with the expectations that are on them. They kind of made that, like, they're making the steps, right? Like, they're making the gradual steps. And the conference sucks compared to our conference. So they could be a number one seed, and they would be like a four in the AFC, which, again, super annoying. Two, I have the Niners, although, again, this is a – the Niners are going to – I think they're going to struggle this year for Niners, you know, expectations. But I still think that's good enough to be a two seed in the West. Like I mentioned, the Rams are going to be chasing them the whole way. And the Seahawks, I think, Seahawks are probably my eight. Like, if I had to have a team just looking inside from out, it would be the Seattle Seahawks there. I got the Cowboys as the three seed. I think people are sleeping on the regular season Cowboys. I know that division never repeats. Like, it's like for like 20 years now or something that there's never been a repeat champ. Maybe this year's the year for me. And I think the Cowboys, they just got CD back. Dak's going to be playing sort of in a contract year, but with all of the leverage to just get more and more money. Same with Micah Parsons there as well. You know, they'll lose in the first round. Don't get me wrong, but they will make that. They'll be the three seed in the playoffs. Falcons four seed moving on. Rams five. Like I mentioned there, I have Packers six. So Rams and Packers, I could easily see being like the 1-2. If you had to do these numerically in terms of how good the teams are, I think your top four in some order are Lions, Niners, Rams, Packers, honestly. Maybe Rams is the four. Maybe that's a distant one. But I just think they're going to be competing within division, I should say. So Packers six. And then, as I mentioned, even though I'm on the under, I think the Eagles, a 9-8, sneak into the playoffs, you know, lose in the first round, and then it's all hell breaks loose, because that's not what those Eagles fans want. And then, yeah, for me, I mean, I don't hate the Bucks shout. I just hate the NFC South, so I just don't think there's any way two teams get in. I think if they get in, they get in as the four seed, as you mentioned, Jace. And then Seahawks are really the only other team for me. Like, we talked about it a little bit. We'll get to it with gambling, and I know we don't need to harp on it too much, but the Bears thing. Like, the Bears aren't making the playoffs this year. Yeah, I think the Bears are in a. I think the Bears are in a good spot. I think the Bears. Caleb Williams should be great. He's going to be fun to watch. I'm happy for Bears fans. good defense. You know, they've built weapons. They have weapons for Caleb on the offense. The offensive line is getting better. But in that division, man, I just don't see it. So those are my seven. Lions, Niners, Boys, Falcons, Rams, Packers, Eagles. I will tell you both right now because you're both going to do it. I don't have a pick out of the NFC yet. I really don't. I don't know. By process of elimination, Lions, maybe. But like but even that I can't say with full confidence.
Yeah, Tim and I have a lot of similarities. I'm just slightly higher on the Packers and slightly lower on the Lions, but that makes my playoff picks, in my opinion, a bit easier. Because if the Packers are the one seed, as this kind of plays out, I'm going to have the 49ers beating the Eagles comfortably at home. I'm going to have the Rams upsetting the Cowboys in Dallas, a playoff tradition for the Cowboys. And then in a Vegas record, most money ever wagered on a road team in a postseason game, I'm going to have the Lions over the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah. There will be stories written about how much money was placed on a road team in the postseason for this game. I'm going to have the Packers then play the Lions in the second round. And guess where that game is if the Packers are the one seed? It's outside. It's Green Bay. It's freezing. It's cold. You know who doesn't enjoy that? Jared Goff. And that's how you have the Packers beating the Lions in that matchup. The 49ers, Rams, I'll have the 49ers sneak one out against the Rams. And then Packers avenge their loss to the 49ers, and they end up going to the Super Bowl. It's Ravens, Packers in the Super Bowl. A matchup of just great uniform colors, in my opinion. And the better colors prevail, obviously. And it's the Ravens winning the Super Bowl. Yes, I'm a homer, whatever. They're a really good team. They have a ridiculous core. They have a two-time MVP-winning quarterback. It has to fall right once. And I think in true Ravens fashion, they win the Super Bowl with the slightly worse team than the one of the year before. And that's it. Just about how things fall in the playoffs, a couple of breaks, and they do it. And they break through. Ravens, your Super Bowl champs.
So I ended up with the same NFC champ as you in this exercise, Antonio. I also have the Packers. I think they dispatch whoever in this scenario gets that seven seed. But then I have the Cowboys beating the Eagles in the first round in my exercise. And then obviously the Lions are going to stomp the Falcons in this scenario that I have also have. I have somehow then set myself up for yet another 49ers-Cowboys divisional round game that I have the 49ers winning. And then I have the Packers beating the Lions because... Lions fans can have nice things. And then basically I just landed on the Packers because I'm like, well, we're not going to have the same Super Bowl as last year. And if I think the Chiefs are going to be there, something has to be different. And that's where I just went looking and I'm like, it's either going to be the Lions or the Packers. If it's not the 49ers, it's the Lions, it's the Packers, or it's possibly the Cowboys, and it's not going to be the Cowboys. So then that gave me basically my Super Bowl pick for the NFC had to come between the Packers and the Lions, but it doesn't matter because the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl. That is the J7's official pick. We are getting the three-peat. Let's all try again in 2025. But I think the Chiefs, I don't know. Again, until I see someone beat them, that isn't Tom Brady or Joe Burrow randomly one time where he played fine and it was mostly Patrick Mahomes who stung.
Love that caveat.
Until we see that, I can't pick against them. As we'll get into in the preview here with the Ravens Chiefs game, I think the Chiefs got better this season, and it's annoying, and I don't like it. And we can only hope that the NFL decides to, like, I don't know, suspend Rashee Rice in December or something. But until that happens, there's no path for me to seeing them derailed. I know I'm being just cynical. It's freeing in a way, though. If I go into this season believing that the Ravens have zero chance of winning the Super Bowl, imagine my joy, Antonio, when we're lifting the Lombardi Trophy on Super Bowl Sunday.
I dive deeper and deeper into nihilism as I watch football. Life is meaningless. Nothing matters, and the Chiefs win again.
What a perfect segue. Let's talk about it. We got to get into it. We've been spending 6 months not wanting to talk about it.
We've been avoiding it.
Maybe we can just talk about it next week instead. It's Ravens. It's Chiefs. It's the NFL kickoff game Thursday night in Kansas City. I'm not Chiefs favored by 3. I'm not mentally ready for this game. First of all, just in general, because of having to have this matchup again. I'm not ready with it being Thursday. It's going to just creep up on me and just be there all of a sudden. And then I'm not ready for the footage. It's just going to be the horrible footage of seeing the highlights and the lowlights, the montages. I don't like any of it. And we're going to see the Zay Flowers fumble. Yeah, I said it. We're going to see the Zay Flowers fumble. We're going to see the Lamar fumble. We're going to see the Lamar interception when he threw it into triple coverage just because Isaiah likely threw his hand up. We're going to see some stuff that we didn't like. And, you know, we're going to be okay in the end. But it's just going to set a sour stage, especially when the Chiefs go up 14-0 to start the game, too, inevitably. But we're going to get through it. It's just one game. It's just week one. And in theory, we may never have to see the Chiefs ever again for the rest of the season and more. But let's get into it. Let's start with the Ravens offense versus the Chiefs defense. This is probably, maybe weirdly, the matchup that we're more concerned with. So my question to you, fellas, big picture, how much are we going to see from this offense? The week one, with you know the new no Ravens starters play in the preseason stuff, week one has been tough, rusty, gross on offense, where it's basically a preseason game for the ones on offense. At least the first half of it is. Last year, we saw that in the Texans game. The first couple of drives were a disaster. They were having false starts. Players didn't know how to line up. They had three and outs. But that was with a new system. It was a new offensive coordinator. This year, a lot of the same stuff is back and ready to go for week one. So do we see, you know, which version do we get? Do we get preseason Ravens in this game offensively, or is it developed enough and operating smoothly enough to where they can actually put some points on the board and threaten in this game?
I'll just go quickly here on the offense, because I think that was the point that I was going to make, where remember, guys, that none of these guys played, and so it's going to look a little funky. I do think that there's going to be an extra emphasis on this game. You can't be rusty. You know what I mean? Like, I think they kind of are aware of that there's not as much room for error against the Super Bowl champions. And you would like to think that, you know, new or same system, that it's not as all over the place as it was last season. I do think, though, that the Chiefs defense is very good. Steve Spagnuolo is one of the best coordinators in the National Football League. The guy, I think, has now 3 Super Bowl rings as a coordinator. Four. Thank you, Chase. He has four Super Bowl rings as a coordinator. It's still early. I'm out of coffee, guys. I think that is going to be an issue. I'll put it this way. The Chiefs defense is going to be more of a hindrance than any sort of rust from the offseason, if that makes sense. I think the team will be fluid and ready to go. They just have to overcome a very talented unit, you know, albeit L'Jarius Sneed being gone. I think it's still a very, very solid unit that Spagnuolo's got there. Not super happy about it. One thing I am happy about, seeing Derrick Henry in the uniform officially for the first time is going to be so cool. Like, it's not going to be cool as the all-black. Like, Derrick Henry in the all-black, he's going to run for, like, 350 yards in whatever game they wear the all-blacks in. But in the purple and maybe the – or I guess it would be white, excuse me. But in the Ravens uniform for the first time is going to look awesome. It's going to be awesome.
I'm so excited about it. It's pretty much all I've been thinking of, because it's the newest big exciting thing with the Ravens is Derrick Henry being there. But with that being said, I think it's inevitable that there's some rust because, and especially with him, we have not seen Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson and the Ravens starting offensive line on the field. We don't know who that line is. They put out a depth chart. The PR team did, unofficial, quote unquote. The reporters couldn't stress that enough, that did have Patrick McCurry slotted in to that right tackle spot. Otherwise, the line we thought it would be throughout preseason which is Andrew Voorhees and Daniel Falele at guard. We'll see if that happens. I'm still skeptical. I think there's a very real chance it's a completely different group when they line up in week one, because that's just how John Harbaugh does. I wouldn't even be stunned if he purposely gave them a wrong depth chart to put out from the PR team.
Definitely.
But yeah, it just like, it seems like, to me, like it's just inevitable that like working that much new stuff out and getting your first real game action against, especially as Tim, you said, a coordinator and a team as good as the Chiefs. I think that front's good. You know, you mentioned a LeJarius Sneed, but Chris Jones still here. George Karlaftis, I'm sure, will beat whoever the right tackle is at some point in the game for a sack or just a critical blow up. And I think so. Just working all that out is going to be tough, because it's a trend. You guys mentioned the Texans game last year. They played, it was the Jets the year before. That was another slow, kind of sloppy fits and starts game. So it kind of just seems inevitable to me. But if I have some hope, it's with seeing Derrick Henry. And one thing we know, they are going to run the ball more than six times with their running back. That is a J.S. Evans guarantee. I don't know if they have props on 10 rushing attempts, but the Ravens will run the ball 10 times at least in this game, unlike an AFC title game.
Don't.
Oh, my gosh.
One of you's bringing up the Zay Flowers. The other one's doing that they didn't run the ball enough. Stop.
Well, it's going to – I'm just telling you. They're going to – that's like – we can guarantee they're going to run more than they did then. And the Clips are going to stink, as Antonio said. It's just – it's what it is. It's the down – the remember when this happened 6 months ago? It's like, yes, I do, NBC. In fact, it's
– I have nightmares about it most
Yeah, all I
most
think
nights.
About every other day. And I'm a you know, I don't claim to be a professional here. I did not rewatch the highlights from that game. I don't need to see them. There's nothing I can glean from it. I remember it. And so, you know, it's we move forward. So
I can confidently say I will never watch that football game ever again.
Yeah,
ever.
Don't
ever
need to. Seen
life.
It.
Saw it the first time.
Yeah, I'm not a – can I – not to go wildly off topic, can I do a mini What's Bothering Jace here that's been gnawing at me for a while?
We're back. The season's here. Well, you absolutely have to.
It relates to this because it's the Lamar catch to himself. It's that Zay Flower, the touchdown he threw. I am sick of this fan base posting highlights from games we lost. They do it all the time. I saw one of Tyler Huntley playing the Browns when like he came in for Lamar like 2 years ago or whatever. And it's like, what are we doing here? Like, this team wins so many games that you can pick plays from games we won and use those highlights. Yes. I just don't understand. It's just such loser behavior to me.
Loser behavior.
I know it's irrational. It's one of my more irrational takes in a long time. But every time I see it, it drives me crazy. And they're like, oh, sick Lamar touchdown. It's like, cool, we scored 10 points in the AFC title game. That was the one touchdown. Like, I don't get it. And it's just been gnawing at me and driving me just a little nuts every time I see that, you know, he wins the ESPY for catching the pass to himself, which I think it was you, Antonio, correctly said, like at the time, kind of an embarrassing play in retrospect, I think. Like, and then it's celebrated as this crazy play, and it's like these two plays I see over and over, and I'm just like, we scored 10 points, guys. Like, what about the 34 points we scored the week before against the Texans? You could post highlights of that game when Lamar had four touchdowns. I don't need to see us sharing highlights as a fan base of from games we lost. We win a lot. Pick one of those games.
First of all, I mean, the season is now back officially. Like that, just
officially
huge,
back. We are
that
back.
That was like December form for Jace with a What's Bothering Jace. You're absolutely right about all of it, of course. Yes, the highlight is annoying because they had two plays that were successful basically in the entirety of that football game, and they were both out of structure because every other play before and after those plays were like ugly incompletions and no runs. So yeah, they had two great plays in that game, and they both came kind of miraculously based on broken tackles and catching your own passes. Okay, we're putting that together. It's a new season. We're moving forward. The last thing I will say about the offensive side of things, they will have some ugly plays. They will have some sacks. It's going to look gross. if those plays can just end, like, safely, and it's like, oh, and he's sacked on third down, what an ugly series, and out comes the punt unit, as opposed to, oh, that was a disaster, he's sacked on third down, and he's stripped, and it's fumbled, and it's picked up, and it's returned for a touchdown. If we can avoid that stuff, eventually the offense will get into a rhythm, we'll put some points up, but limiting turnovers, shockingly, will be very, very important. And then, Skinny Lamar. I'm curious to see this guy who, you know, the most athletic player in the NFL who felt fat and slow, so he needed to lose 15 pounds. I'm terrified of it because I don't want him to get hit, but I have a hunch we will see not one, not two, but three plays where he is just breaking ankles on the field, and the announcers can say, oh, well, you know, he lost some weight in the offseason, so you can just see him being really fleet of foot out there. Defensively, this is where maybe we can have a little bit, I was going to say a little bit more fun, and then it's like, no, it's Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. It's not going to be fun at all. But from our perspective, let the games begin with this defensive unit, this stacked defensive unit that we have not so much question marks, but are excited to see certain players. I want to see Nate Wiggins in this game. I want to see David Ojabo actually on the field making plays. I want to see Trenton Simpson making plays next to Roquan Smith. There's a lot to like here. And then you realize it's against the Chiefs offense, but no Hollywood Brown in this one, which is avoids the hilarious revenge game. They have the Chiefs have a new left tackle, at least, again, according to the depth chart. They will be starting a rookie at left tackle, which is always kind of, you know, maybe a place where you can take some advantage of. I'm not even going to say Odafe Owe. Kyle Van Noy, you know, maybe he can take advantage on the edge against the left tackle. But how do you see the other side of the ball shaping up, Ravens, defensively against the Chiefs?
I mean, I'm optimistic just because I still think, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Zach Ward differs, and I think it'll take some time before we maybe see the true any divergence or difference from sort of McDonald and what they like to do, tendencies, all that kind of stuff. But I mean, I'm concerned. Not that Mahomes lit them up, certainly by any means. They didn't do all that much, especially in that second half of the AFC title game. But I do think, you know, there's just some potential concerns about, like, Xavier Worthy going streaking past someone in the secondary for one of these highlight plays that they didn't have a lot of for the Chiefs last year. As I mentioned, Rashee Rice is here, managed to not get suspended by the NFL yet. That seems to be coming at some point. But he's is still it? There. Well, it's the NFL, so who's to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think their receiver room's better, even though with no Hollywood, because I agree with you, he would have had at least one touchdown in this game. And, yeah, I just, you know, they played the Chiefs about as well as you can in the AFC title game, and they still, you know, gave up just those dagger, like that dagger play at the end. Like, it's, I feel like you're just always just a play away from disaster when you play Mahomes to some degree. And so I am interested to see sort of how it plays out, because certainly we limited them just about as good as anyone last season. And the offense still choked it away. But in terms of, yeah, the defense, it's those new pieces, Trenton Simpson out there against, you know, not backups. How does that go? That's interesting to see. He might have some Kelce responsibilities. We'll see about that. I'm guessing that'll still be mostly sort of the realm of Kyle Hamilton. It seems, I'm sure if they have like their ideal matchup, it'll be a lot of Hamilton on Travis Kelce. But we know how it goes. I mean, maybe Kelce's cooked. It's possible. He's getting older. But it's similar to just sort of how I was talking earlier about, until I see it with people beating Mahomes, just until someone can cover just Kelce just running like a button hook and just sitting there and then being somehow wide open and Mahomes finding him, like, he's just, like, he lit him up in the AFC title game in that first half. They had no real answer for him. Eventually they shut him down, but Yeah, it's going to be annoying. It's going to be Chiefs things. I mean, I assume is Taylor Swift, is she touring still? Is she going to be there? I'm sure we'll see her. Forgot about that whole thing. yeah, it's going to stop. It's going to stink. It's the fear, I think. But as negative as I be, not to betray my pick, I think you'll be surprised in a few minutes where I'm leading in this game. All that sort of being said,
this will be one of those ones where, you know, on Friday and Saturday and stuff, leading, you know, after the game and leading up to Sunday, I'll be very interested to listen to, like, the Smart People podcasts that we mention a lot, like the guys who break down the film and who are really, you know, ex-pros and what have you, about any sort of changes in the Ravens' defense, because I know defense is not as, like, scheme-reliant, I guess, as offense, although it still is, obviously, but there might be a little bit of rust here with different things that Zach Orr might be doing compared to Mike Macdonald, and I'm kind of interested to see how that works with guys who haven't played yet, you know, Justin Madubuike, Roquan Smith, Kyle Hamilton, what have you. So I think that'll be it's just an interesting thing. Like, I'm not going to know as a fan watching in the moment, just because I'm not one of those people that really understands the real intricacies, and until I read someone who knows more than me about it and kind of learn that way. But I think that there might be some there. I'm excited to see Nate Wiggins with the starting unit. I think that'll be fun to see how much time he gets on the outside. Like you both have mentioned, there's no revenge touchdown for Hollywood Brown. You know, even like they'll do the thing that Jace hates. Even if we're up like 30 and Hollywood Brown scores a touchdown, it'll be like, oh, got him, man, whatever. And it's like, shut up, scoreboard. So none of that's going to happen. But yeah, it's going
to
be.
Well, Tim mentioned Ravens up 30-0. So yeah, none of that is going to be happening.
None of that's going to be happening anyway. And you won't be surprised at where I'm picking, not to spoil mine. But I do think that the one thing that we always talk about when they play good teams, they play, even when we were doing this podcast, when the Ravens were playing Ben Roethlisberger back in the day, at the late term Ben Roethlisberger, there's going to be annoying things that happen. There's going to be annoying broken down plays on a 3rd and 7 where Mahomes scrambles for 8.5 and they get the first down. They need to not be frustrated by those and continue to try and shut them down. So yeah, I'm excited to see it. And also defense too. Perfect opportunity to shut up those spoiled brat Kansas City fans. Those Kansas City fans think that they get no respect at all, and it's absolutely freaking ridiculous. And I think no better way than, I don't know, a gap blitz on first down, Roquan Smith meet Patrick Mahomes, and, you know, put Kermit in his place a little bit. Like, maybe get a little bit of that in there. Let's get a little bit of attitude. Let's get a little bit of mean. Let's a little bit of this silence in crowds and arrowheads. Let's kind of shut them down just a touch. Now I'm getting fired up. Now I'm getting really fired up. I think the defense has an opportunity to make a statement here. We'll see if they do it.
A few intangibles. Let's see the kicking. Let's see this new kickoff rule in action. I have my doubts and concerns about how they handled it in the preseason, but obviously preseason is when you try things, and then it'll be much simpler in the regular season and much smoother. This is what, you know, used to be one of my favorite betting just kind of factoids, was just Harbaugh week one. It has had the Ravens ready to go the vast, vast majority of week ones, and with big cover wins. Does some of that carry over into this season? The revenge game stuff that Tim mentioned. And then just like it's the kickoff game to the end. There's like such a high profile in this game. That's almost like a negative intangible for me. I would have rather just had the Chiefs. You know, they would have never been at 1 o'clock, but 4 p.m. maybe, you know, in October, as opposed to just the Thursday first kickoff game. Some frustrating things here in the world of intangibles, but I'm going to make my pick and then let my co-hosts give whatever final thoughts on this game they have, and then their pick as we spin into our gambling section here. Oh my gosh. I don't agree with myself, but it's Ravens +3, and I think it's Chiefs win, Ravens cover. I think this is a weird game. I think it's sloppy on both sides. Like, let's not forget The Chiefs looked bad in their week one game last year against the Lions. They lost week one at home against the Lions in a gross football game. I think some stuff happens that we don't like. I think the Chiefs also make some mistakes of their own. Some field goals are kicked, some two-point conversion. The Chiefs do a very annoying two-point conversion at some point where it's a backwards pass to Travis Kelce. And that's how you kind of get a wonky scoreline where it's like Chiefs win by two kind of thing, or Chiefs win by one, and we somehow end up even more frustrated than we were a couple of months ago. But the Ravens somehow end up covering this plus three number.
I have sort of been talking myself into the exact same scenario as you, Antonio. I kind of am taking Ravens plus three just sort of on principle. I'm not sure I think they win, but this has to be one of the bigger, since he kind of became the full-time starter. Lamar can't have been much of a bigger underdog than plus three sort of the last several years, certainly. And it just feels like, we've beaten the Chiefs before. It has happened. it was at home, but it required a semi-miraculous
comeback.
It has happened, so we know they can do it. No, I agree with you. I'm sure, like a Butker field goal at the gun from like 50 after a dumb Mahomes completion. Something annoying. It'll be a tough game if you're not a fan of Chris Collinsworth praising Patrick Mahomes. That'll be tough for you to sit through if you're not a fan of that sort of broadcast.
This guy.
But yeah, all that being said, it does sound like I've been very negative. I'm not going to be stunned if they win this game. I do think the Ravens are really good. For all the negative talk I said, there's a lot, I think, for the other side, certainly. Like, the Chiefs have to have concerns. We very obviously could have beaten them in January. They're not unbeatable. They just don't get beat much. So I'm not going to be shocked if the Ravens win. But, yeah, kind of just more on principle. I just kind of take Ravens plus three sort of on principle as a team this good being that big of an underdog.
Chiefs minus three because it's almost at evens. It's minus 102. It's almost an even bet to get Chiefs minus three. I think they win by four. And I'm setting myself up to I'm with Jace. Like, look, I'm sort of playing a bit of a character here. Like, I do think the Ravens can win this football game. I don't expect it, but I wouldn't be shocked. I'm kind of looking at the value there too, really. Like, Chiefs, I know the underdog thing, you guys are right. Lamar Jackson wins football games in the regular season. He is just dominant in the regular season. So to give him 3 points seems like, a bit of a disrespect, you would say, and hopefully they take it as such. But KC minus three at minus 102, an almost even bet, I just think that's too good a value. So Chiefs minus three.
Let's go to our other picks here. Tim and I are talking about this. I think we're going to be in big trouble next week, but
big trouble.
Texans. It's Texans minus two. It's Texans. I'm sorry. Minus 2.5. It's Texans minus 2.5. They're traveling to Indianapolis. I don't care. It's a dome. This Texans team is very, very good. They have a healthy offensive line. They have Tank Dell and Nico Collins. They added Stephon Diggs. It's going to be fun. They're going to have a fun time beating the Colts, whose quarterback, we have no idea if he's even going to be competent in this football game. This will be a 10-14 point win for the Texans, and we're getting it at less than a field goal. It's Texans minus 2.5.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. It is the Mad Max gif. That's a trap. That's a trap. The Tom Hardy. That's bait. Excuse me. That's bait. That's a trap. But it's Texans minus 2.5. It's Texans.
And we'll be back. We'll be back next week to apologize for what we've said and done. And then my final pick. It's a tease. It's time to bring
Tony
it back.
Tony Teaser, he's back.
It's a two-team, six-point tease. You get that to about minus 120 usually. So, not the greatest number, but not the worst. If you're taking certain teams at certain picks, straight up at minus 110, you lose just a little bit of value there. But it's two teams that I am very, very comfortable with. I am moving the Bengals line from 8.5, which is not everywhere, so you're going to have to find it. Some places it's not 9.5, some places it's 8.5. You go and find it at minus 8.5, and I'm moving that to minus 2.5 at home against the New England Patriots. Yes, please. And then I'm moving the Bills line from 6 to even At home. Let me confirm that I'm saying that correctly, because I don't want to be wrong about that. At home, yes, against the Arizona Cardinals. Lock it in. Lock it in. and we start 3-0 this week.
So I'm going back to the well that I hit many times last year. I'm sure the year before, probably the year before that. It's just picking the Pittsburgh Steelers when they're underdogs. Steelers
I hate how much I love this.
Yeah. Steelers plus +3 at the Atlanta Falcons. A lot of hype for the Falcons, as we talked about. Supposedly Kirk Cousins' first game for Raheem Morris. And it just screams of a game that Mike Tomlin and this mediocre Steelers team go down there and get like a 17-10 win. And everyone's kind of not happy. Even Steelers fans are probably perturbed, but you know, it's a winning play if you have the plus +3. It's just faith in Tomlin and the Steelers to do Steelers things, basically. One of my other picks, I have the Lions -3.5 at home against the Rams on Monday Night Football, or Sunday Night Football, excuse me. I'm probably lower, as we've talked about, on the Rams than I should be. But in this game, it's more just faith in the Lions. I think that place is going to be rocking. This is a Super Bowl contender on Sunday Night Football, not a place they have been regularly. Detroit sports don't have a lot else going on outside the Lions these days, so I feel like the fans are particularly jazzed. I just think it'll be a big environment. And I think, Tim, you had mentioned it. It's Stafford back in the building, so they'll be fired up for that too. So I'm going with the Lions just to kind of win by like 4 or 5 at home. And then just one final kind of, I don't know if fun's the word, but a bonus bet that jumped out to me was the New York Giants plus +1.5 at home to Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings. This bet is multifaceted. It is not having faith in Sam Darnold and the Vikings, I think, even though, you know, I've been a Sam defender at times, but I also weirdly just don't know that I just don't think the Giants are going to be like as awful as people think. They're over under struck me as like too low. I know that's putting a lot of faith in Daniel Dimes, which is not for the faint of heart, but I think their defensive line could be pretty good. I think Brian Daboll's a decent coach. I think they can scratch and claw some wins. And if I think that's true, this is one of the games that they have to win if they're going to, you know, go over their over, of which was like 6.5 or something. It was pretty low. So kind of a bonus. I don't advise putting money on this, but, you know, if you're, it's not for the faint of heart, I would say this game. But it was just a number that jumped out to me as being like, huh, that's kind of interesting. Whenever you basically see a team opening day underdog at home, it just always intrigues me. And I don't just have the faith in the Vikings to say that's a slam dunk in their favor. So yeah, Giants plus +1.5 bonus bet.
Jace with an interesting point at the end there. The home dog, there are a couple of home dogs this week, and I feel like maybe, well, now that I look at it, it's way less than I actually thought. So, you know what? Scratch that. But I do like the concept of the home dog in a gross game. They have to win. You know, Vegas is always right, so the Giants have to win six games if they're set at 6.5. This would be one of those six. So.
And I'm sure they'll win this game, and it'll be by a point, like on the last second field goal, because that's kind of how gambling goes.
So I'm with Antonio on the Texans -2.5 at -114 there. I'm also going to take the Cowboys +2.5 at -110 against the Browns. I just think the Cowboys win that game. If you want to be a bit safer, maybe buy it up to 3.5 to save yourself from the field goal. But I think they should be favored in that game, even though, you know, I picked the Browns to be in the playoffs. I think the Cowboys come out, and people are kind of sleeping on the Cowboys, I think, which is weird because that's usually quite the opposite of what happens with the Dallas Cowboys. And it's week one. So here's some other bets. I'm not going to count them on the official record, but like, you know, we're tossing all of these because it's week one. It's a lot of fun. I'm with Antonio on the Bills, but I'll take them -5.5 against the Cardinals. That makes no sense to me. And -118, Packers money line to get the plus odds at +128 against the Eagles. That's just, again, I think the Eagles could come out and make a statement, but I'm going to bet on the other side there. I'm against Jace. I like the Rams +3.5 against the Lions at -115. I think that is a field goal game, or the Rams go and win it.
I don't think they get. I don't think they lose by more than 3 points. So give me the +3.5 there. And then my sneaky stinker that I just looked at and I said, this looks like nobody's going to touch this one, so I'm going to take it. And that's usually how gambling works. Titans +4.5 at -115 over the Bears. Everybody and their brother is going to want to bet the Bears because of the Caleb Williams hype. And you know what? The Titans, they're not that great, but they did sign a lot of dudes. They just have dudes on that team. And I could see them, you could even, if you want better odds, maybe even sneak in a money line +172 and Chicago Bears, Chicago Bear. I just think it's one of those ones you look at it and you're like, nobody's going to bet this, so it means it's going to win. Give me Titans +4.5.
May all our bets be prosperous. May our season be healthy and strong. But more importantly, may the Ravens win a week one game at Kansas City. Because if they do, oh boy, your boy is going to have a lot of energy and a lot of optimism for this Ravens season. Too much. And he will be ready to get hurt again. But it starts with this first game. The NFL season kicks off in Kansas City, guys. We are all obviously jacked up to start the NFL season and to start it with the Ravens. We'll try to share some of the texts that happened during that game next week, but certainly not all of them. For Tim Horsey and Jace Evans, I am Antonio Barbera. Thank you for listening to us on Pod Like a Raven. Let's go. We can do this. We can do this. And we will see you next week to talk about it. See ya.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.